just a quick reminder that we don't have morning services next Sunday. And we don't have a normal Sunday evening service. We have the midnight service, which will be at 11:15. All right? So just please remember that. All right? That's next week. Now, I want to quickly talk to you the next couple of moments, if I can, just about some of the lessons that we get from the Christmas story. There are a number of lessons. You know, when you look at the story, I think one of the first things that just pops out, and this is the scripture we read just now from John 3:16, is God's incredible love. For God so loved. And I think He loves you and me more than we can probably ever imagine. So that's one of the lessons we take from the Christmas story. Of course, another lesson is that God is the great giver. God is generous. He's given heaven's best. And God wants you and me to live a generous life. Why? Because our nature leans the other way. We lean towards selfishness and me. It's all about me. And God says, no. I want you to lean this way. Break the power of selfishness in your life. And how do we do that? We break the power of selfishness through generosity. And by the way, this is one of the reasons we give gifts over Christmas time, all right? So that's another lesson that we learn. But there's one more. And I want to spend a little bit of time on this one. You may not have quite seen it like this before. But the lesson, one of the lessons we learn from Christmas is that life is less than perfect. You say, Leonard, what do you mean? Well, just think about it like this. When you and I plan a big event, whether it be a holiday away, or a child's birthday party, or a wedding or something like that, we want it perfect. Have you ever been part of planning a wedding or just observed? For us as guys, we just observe, and we've learned we just don't say anything, all right? But all you've got to do is just observe, and you'll see they're trying to plan this perfect wedding. And you know, there's never been a perfect wedding, by the way, probably with the exception of Princess Diana's wedding. You know, but this wedding that they're planning is going to be absolutely perfect. You know what's so interesting with a Christmas story is, yeah, God plans this huge, big event. He's going to send a Savior to the world. And He doesn't plan it all perfect, doesn't have to be everything just right. As a matter of fact, it's far less than perfect. I mean, if I was God and I was sending a Savior, I wouldn't be sending a baby. I'd send a politician. Well, not an honest one. You can't find those. I'd send a good politician or leader. And if you can find the two rolled into one, politician, leader, that's who I'd send. If I can't find one of those, because those are difficult to find, I'd send a good general. And if I couldn't find one of those, maybe a seasoned soldier. And I'll give him some weapons of mass destruction. Take out the enemy, you know. Sort out the baddies while you're at it, you know. But not God. God sends a baby. Who does that? And then He sends this baby to an unmarried teenager. And when the teenager's boyfriend or fiance discovers that she's pregnant, he's like, I'm out of here. This is bad. I'm out. And she's trying to convince him it's not what it looks like. I promise you. And he's like, I'm done. I'm out of here. And so when you and I look at this picture, this Christmas story, it's a mess. Come on, let's be honest. It's far less than perfect and everything falling into place. When Mary is ready to give birth, there's no hospital bed, not even a decent hotel, not even an average Airbnb, a dirty stable. Oh, come on, ladies, who wants to give birth in a dirty stable of all places? I mean, it's crazy. And then after the birth, they discover this little baby is on somebody's hit list. I mean, it was absolutely crazy. And so from the human perspective, it was far from perfect. From God's perspective, from heaven's perspective, it was spectacular. And God is creating a story that would be told and retold and celebrated for generations and for centuries to come. And here we are today celebrating just that story. From the human perspective, you could say a disaster. From God's perspective, He's like, hey, hang on. Everything is falling into place. There's nothing wrong with this. Why is it in life that when things are a little bit less than perfect, we think it's a disaster? When your child doesn't get into the school or the varsity that you thought, when the home loan doesn't get approved, when the sales aren't quite what they should be, when things are just a little bit less than perfect, then you and I think, oh man, you know, it's a disaster. But here's the good news. God takes the less than perfect, and He flips it around and He makes the spectacular come out of it. God doesn't need, by the way, everything to be just right and to be just perfect for the story at the end of the day to become exactly what He wants in our lives. And so don't let anybody tell you that God is not in your story, in your situation, just because it doesn't look great at the moment. God can still turn it around and make it great. That's what He does. God is the master of taking stuff that's a mess and flipping it around, and it becomes your message. It becomes what you share with others, where they say, how did that happen? I don't know. It's got to be God. It can only be a God thing. And so don't let somebody tell you God is not in your thing. He's in your thing. Because the Bible tells us in Isaiah 61 that He can make beauty come out of ashes. In other words, a mess, a disaster, and He makes beauty come out of it. The oil of joy for mourning. That's what it says. What about Romans 8 verse 28? I know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. In all things, the good things, the bad things, God uses that to work together for our advantage. That's the God whom we serve. Never forget that. Let's get back to the Christmas story. Why do you think Jesus was on the hit list? This little innocent baby Jesus. Why you say Herod, King Herod, haven't you read the Bible? You know, Herod wanted to get rid of Him, wanted to make sure that there weren't any rivals down the line. Oh, I know that part. But there's something a little bit more sinister to that story. There's something bigger behind it. Yes, Satan, the devil, he's our enemy. And so why was he trying to mess it up? Basically just to mess up God's plans. He wanted to try and frustrate God's plans and purposes. And so when God starts something new in your life, something good, something beautiful, don't be surprised when things start going wrong a little bit. That's just the enemy coming to try and frustrate God's plans. And I put the emphasis on trying, because he's not going to be successful. Or he may derail God's plans a little bit. He may take it off that way. But as long as you and I stay in faith and keep praying, because what does the Bible teach us to do? Resist Him firm in your faith. Submit to God, the Bible says. Submit to God. God, I'm putting this in your hands. And resist the devil firm in your faith. As long as we do that, even though, you know, we've gone a little bit of a detour, God will bring us back, and He's promised He'll make good come out of that. So often when things go wrong in our lives, we forget that part. We forget to take authority over the enemy, to stand in the gap and to pray. You know why? One of the reasons, because we're too busy asking why. God, why is this happening? God, why have you allowed this thing in my life? God, when are you going to change? And it's okay to ask why, by the way. It's okay. Because some people, no. You can't question God. You can't ask God why. Listen, He already knows what's in your heart and my heart. Even if we haven't said it and we haven't asked the question, God already knows that. And so you may as well go ahead and ask the question. I think we all struggle with why from time to time. A young mother passes away and leaves her young child without a mother. And then you have a grandmother lying on her deathbed, begging God to take her home. And it doesn't happen. And we stand back and we say, God, why? I don't understand this. And I'm sure Mary asked why. And if she never asked it, she thought it. God, why me? God, I'm not even married. Why have you done this? And let me just say to you, it's okay to ask why. As long as, please hear this, you don't get stuck on why. Because for some people, they get stuck on the frustration and the confusion. Why? And they'll get stuck on that thing for years. How do we make sure we don't get stuck? The Bible gives us the answer in this little book called Habakkuk. And the best known scripture in the entire book is found in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, where it says, the just, that's you and me, we've been justified. The just shall live by faith. That's not a once-off event, by the way. That's a lifelong attitude where we live by faith. When everything is going my way, I'm in faith. When nothing is going my way, I'm in faith. I'm trusting God. When the sales are up, I'm still trusting God. Thank you, Lord. When the sales are down, I'm trusting God. When things are perfect, I'm trusting God. When things are less than perfect, which they often are, I'm still trusting God. The just shall live by faith. And so instead of us getting stuck on why, I want to suggest, let's get stuck in faith. Let's get stuck in trust, where we trust in God, and that's how we're going to live. I've had people ask me at times when things are messed up in their lives, they say to me, but Leonard, why? Why has this happened? And I don't have the answers. I've got to say to them, I don't know. Yeah, but when's God going to change it? I don't know. You know, do they think I've had a part in this? This is not my doing. But there's so much stuff in life that we don't know and we can't answer. But I'll tell you what I do know. I'm going to trust God. When I don't understand it and it doesn't make sense, I don't know how long this is going to go, my trust and my confidence will always be in God, because the just will live by faith. That's what the Bible says. Now, I think there's this false notion that when everything is going our way, and life is good. You know, there's money in the bank. As a matter of fact, there's excess in the bank, and kids have made straight A's this past year, and my Christmas gift was exactly what I've always wanted, and believe it or not, but there was no traffic after church. We just slipped out easy. Your life is good. Life is good. Listen. When that doesn't happen, life is not good. Listen. We cannot think like that. Everything goes my way, it's good. When it doesn't go my way, it's not good. We can't think like that, because most of life is not perfect. Come on. Most of life is not perfect. There will be seasons of our lives where there are imperfections, where things aren't great. Most of those seasons, most of the stages of life, most of them will have things that we don't enjoy, that we change if we could, but we can't change them. And I think we all love the seasons where everything is going our way and it's smooth sailing and it's perfect. We love those, but let's just be honest. Those are few and far in between. Because I say it again, most of life is imperfect. And so we've got to realize it. But here's the good news. God doesn't need it to be perfect. We've just seen it in the Christmas story. As a matter of fact, God takes the imperfect and He uses that in our lives. That's why you can't pray the bad times away. Just pray them away. You know, just ask God to remove it. Tomorrow morning is going to be. You can't do that. Why? Because God's using it. How? He's busy growing you. He's busy developing you. He's actually busy preparing you, believe it or not, for greater things down the line. Because if you really, if you think about it, and if you're honest about it, it's in the tough times that our faith is fueled. That our prayer life goes to another level. Man, I've been praying and I've been trusting God more than ever before. Yeah, that's what happens in the tough times, isn't it? It's in the tough times that we grow more than in the good times. There's no doubt about that. Go and have a look at this Bible. Go and have a look at any character here. You know what you'll find? They went through good times as well as bad times. Easy times as well as tough times. Every single one of them. Jesus. Listen. Jesus' life didn't start easy and it certainly didn't end easy. And in between, what happened? Many challenges. Not everybody liked Him. Not everybody supported Him. Not everybody wanted to see Him succeed, and yet He accomplished everything God had for Him. Don't think life has got to be perfect and all these little things have got to be sorted out. Then live life regardless of that. Let me share one last thought quickly. Here's one of the biggest mistakes that we make. We focus, and this is just human nature, and we all like that. We focus on that one thing that's not right. That one frustration. That one burden. That one thing. And we overlook the 10 things that are right. We completely overlook all the blessings because we focus on that one burden. And yet, burdens... challenges, difficult times are yet to stay. And I know you came for good news today, but it's yet to stay. It's a part of life. Live life in spite of that, regardless of that, and trust God in that situation that He's going to make good come out of it. And so I said right in the beginning, there's some lessons in this Christmas story. And the lesson for us today is that life is not perfect. As a matter of fact, most of life is less than perfect. And so when you and I go through those times, and we all do, and I'm not even going to ask you for a show of hands this morning, because I don't want everybody's hand to go up. Yes, we're going through that time right now, all right? When we go through that time, don't get stuck on why. You can ask why, it's okay. Don't get stuck. You probably won't get an answer, by the way. Don't get stuck on why. Get stuck on faith. And don't make the mistake, here's number two, on focusing on that one thing that's wrong, that one burden, and you're missing the 10 blessings in your life. All right? I want to pray for us this morning, and I want to invite you to stand with me right now. Our Heavenly Father, You are good. You are gracious and You're giving. We want to pause this morning to thank You for all Your goodness upon our lives. Instead of overlooking it and focusing on that one thing, we want to focus on the blessings and the goodness and Your grace the people in our lives, everything that you've done for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Lord, I pray going forward that we're not going to focus on these one or two little things in our lives. And at the time, yes, they are big and they do require attention. May the attention that we give be prayer, faith, where we're taking authority over the enemy. Help us to do that, to exercise the authority that you've given us, but to live life to the full, regardless of these challenges. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.